Good day, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. And this is just another chronicle in the fake brown versus pink wars going on right now, because everything has been gigantically escalated to a level that I didn't anticipate, and I don't think anybody anticipated. A lot of us have probably seen the maps all over the nation, the United States, where all these peaceful protests turn into riots and then unpeaceful. And what I had mentioned before and hinted at, because I had a sneaking suspicion that some of these things were provocateur events, where it can start out as a peaceful protest, but then it turns violent because a group comes in full of agents, and I don't use that term in any official capacity, but they come in with people who are paid, they're Antifa types, they're provocateurs, they're paid to be there, they're paid to stoke the flames of the fire to get people to be violent. And it's fanning the flames all over, at least my small social media following, which I think if I combine all my accounts, there's probably 5,000 people, between 5 and 8. And it's just fanning the flames of more divide and conquer, more white versus black. I saw a meme where it showed some liberal person who happened to be brown shared a series of pictures, all in one picture, of all the mass shooters that were white. And it said, like, this is the problem. And then the next one showed a series of brown people who all were wrongfully killed. So how do you dissect a meme like that? How do you look past the propaganda? Because both images are true. Yeah, it's a problem that a bunch of white kids are shooting up schools. And yeah, it's a problem if a bunch of brown people... Oh, sorry, pink kids. I got to get out of the brainwashing and use my own thoughts, my own words. A bunch of pink people are shooting up schools, and a bunch of brown people are being wrongfully killed. All right, well, what if we put them into a different class? Instead of looking at their skin color and attributing a problem to a race, which is actually racist and perpetuates racism, which is what these people who share these memes are purporting to not want to do, but they are unironically perpetuating it. How about we look and see, are both of these groups victims somehow? Well, the pink group, if you look at them, a lot of them don't have a father in the home. A lot of them are on legal meth, you know, forms of amphetamines, SSRIs, which are like your Ritalins and your Prozacs and your mood drugs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And the side effects of those is suicide and mass casualty. A lot of these kids' parents or foster parents are involved in the CIA and mind control. And that Aurora shooter, the Batman shooter from Aurora, Colorado, was so drugged out of his mind after. Every time he's in the courtroom, the dude looks like he could barely spell his name or say his name. And then... There were reports that one of the previews to that movie, before it started playing, was that someone came into a theater and started shooting. So there's a preview to a movie where someone comes into a theater and starts shooting. And then someone actually comes into the theater and starts shooting. So everyone's in this strange Stockholm Syndrome disbelief, because they just saw it on screen and now they're seeing it in real life, and there's this glitch in your brain where you don't know what's going on. That's a psyop right there. That's a form of psychological manipulation. And then the reports were there was multiple shooters. One of them was all dressed, decked out in black, yada, yada, yada. So just knowing those facts about those pink people, they just happened to be pink, even though one of them's last name was Cruz, C-R-U-Z. He was either adopted by a Spanish family or he was Spanish. It just shows more of the mindlessness that because he was fairly fair-skinned, it's got to be blamed on an entire group of people. Just more racism. But just knowing those facts about that group of people, if you want to be grouping people, shows how you can't then compare, you can't take that group of people and then compare it to wrongful deaths of a different skin color. See, having to point this stuff out is actually maddening because I can see through the Bravo Sierra pretty easily. Is there wrongful deaths in the black community? Yes. Is there wrongful deaths in a white community? Yes. Is there wrongful deaths in a Spanish community? Yes. But to paint, once again, to paint with a broad brush, to say, to teach brown people that they need to be afraid of all white people is racism. And it's just untrue. There's good and bad people in every group. And then to have this claim perpetuated in all the media everywhere that white people are racist makes some white people racist and makes some white people skittish to be around some brown people. Because then a white person is going to be in the presence of some brown people and wonder if those brown people think that he's racist or not, or she's racist or not, because of their skin color. So it's just absolute madness. Whereas if you just lived your life and looked at each person, as an individual, you'll find that you don't treat them any different. You treat them just like you would treat anybody else. So the side effect of all of what's going on is just it perpetuates racism. While the media claims we have a gigantic racism problem, it's perpetuating more racism. So in my state, there was, which is a conservative state, there was a peaceful protest, and then shipped in from another state were some provocateurs trying to get violent. Well, my state deployed the National Guard, tear gas, and I think some rubber bullets, and slowly walked and marched the people out of there. So it didn't amount to much. But in Democrat states or blue states, they want these problems to become as gigantic as possible, because then problem, reaction, solution. You create the problem, the people react, and you have the solution waiting. It's a great way to grab power. And that's what's being done in these blue areas. You can get more funding for police, you can get more funding for riot gear, you can get more funding for, you know, military-style equipment for your police officers. And then if there is some wrongful deaths on a part of the police officers, which is bound to happen in a chaotic situation, someone can get shot and someone, it's chaos. Someone can get shot wrongfully. It can be a brown person. It can be a pink person. The media is going to take, the wrongful death of a brown person, ignore all the wrongful deaths of a pink person, and then fan the flames. And then now everything these rioters look like they're doing is it makes it look justified. So then the ball continues to gain momentum and size as it rolls down the hill. But I see white people and I see brown people. Actually, I see more white people fomenting at the mouth about how there's all this racism everywhere. And no doubt there is some. And if you look at a lot of these protests, a lot of this organic footage people are showing in places like Austin and Dallas and LA and yada yada yada, it's these weirdo Antifa types who are typically white. If you want, go look up Internet Historian on YouTube. There was a professor of ethics at a university who was in Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist, and he was going out to rallies, and he was violently hurting white people. He was hitting people in the head with bike locks, causing them to pass out and bleed everywhere. And the internet found him. Overnight, the internet found who this guy was. He was a leftist. He was ideologically a leftist, a commie, or a socialist, which is just authoritarian, wants to grab power. He wants to be part of a power structure controlling people. He's the professor of ethics at some university. And that's what these Antifa types are. They're leftist professors, and some of them are even bringing their kids, you know, their 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old sons to these protests to teach them and indoctrinate them in the ways of the radical left. You know, these things have been codified in books, and one of them's called, it's by Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. It's tactics to use to degrade a system that's already in place and to get it to fall so that upon the rubble, the people causing the anarchy, the people causing all the problems, the people burning things down are ready to take place in those power roles. People who start anarchy are they start it on purpose so that they can be assume power when everything is burnt to the ground. That's how Russia got taken over. That's how the brown shirts helped Hitler take over. You know, they burned down their own parliament. They disguised themselves as Polish officers. This is all a game. A country doesn't devolve into anarchy by accident. It's always a planned event because people don't want anarchy. If you just leave people alone, the average group of people govern themselves pretty nicely. But these anarchical things that are happening, these riots, it's all pre-planned and it's all done with an agenda in mind. So it'll get so bad that another controlling group has to come in and assume power. And that group is the one pushing the destruction. So it would be like if I went over to my neighbor's house and started their house on fire because I wanted to, because I had an agenda in mind. Maybe I even struck a deal with my neighbor saying, hey, I'll make your house burning down look like an accident, but you're going to give me 20% of your insurance money. And if you don't, I'll burn it down anyways. So, I mean, if it's hard for me and you, the average person, to think this way because we don't think this way. But if you look and see at what happens or what has happened in the past, that's how these systems work. Rules for Radicals, I need to read it. But it's rules for rioting and looting and causing destruction, getting around the law, using American freedom. Like, you know, peaceful protests, we have the right and freedom to a peaceful protest. So police can't intervene if you're peacefully protesting. But then groups can take that freedom and run with it. Everyone can be wearing a mask. A few of them can be doing illegal activity like destroying property. But then the police can't do anything because they don't know who did it because everyone's wearing a mask. So they have to be left alone. So that's the one, I'll say in quotations, weaknesses of freedom, is that there's holes in freedom. The hole in freedom is that it requires and demands people be moral on their own accord. And yes, people can get away with crime and people can get away with some unspeakable things. But the trade-off that Western countries decided to risk for freedom was that some things would go wrong sometimes, but in the majority, you being responsible for your own, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, property, is the greatest way to live. It's a risk worth taking. So that's just another quick 15-minute update on the brown versus pink wars. And I'll just say it's a fake game. If you're falling into the trap of finding yourself on one side or the other, you have fallen into the trap. I have stated before, it's usually obvious, one side is more right than wrong. But don't fall into the trap. Look at these things from a 30,000-foot view. Ask yourself, who's funding these buses to bus in gigantic hordes of people to then go throw rocks at a building? Who's paying for these pallets of rocks or these pallets of bricks to just be left certain places? Who's paying for fake construction sites that look like there's going to be construction on a building, but it just turns out that everything that's left there on that construction site is supposed to be used to start fires, to break windows, to tear things down. Who's paying for that stuff? Someone's paying for this stuff. Someone's writing a check for this. And why are they doing it? You got to ask yourself that.